Sometimes creativity and penchant for murder really holds no bounds. Today, we're going to talk about unusual murder methods and weapons, or as someone we love says, methods of mayhem. Our men in their heavy metal reference, Kim, honestly. Keep in mind that we are not talking about torture or execution methods today. That's a whole other ball of wax, and that is an insane level of horrific. So, besides,
we might cover that someday.
We might, but not today. So, besides all the normal things you can probably think of, first on our murder hit list is the banjo.
The banjo. I have a banjo. I need to hear this.
In 1991, Edward Benson, a 63-year-old man from West Milton, Iowa, beat his wife, Katie, to her demise with not one, but two banjos, according to the Baltimore Sun. Miami County Chief Deputy Charles Price said, "I've been an officer for 30 years, and it's the first banjo killing I've seen." So, I'm telling you, I couldn't find out a why on this, you know, okay, but those of us who are, again, near and dear that we love and that are in the musical business speculate that with seven children and a career in the bluegrass, perhaps it started out with her fussing him about leaving her alone with all those kids again for the millionth time. And I particularly have this image of her shaking that banjo at him. One fist, and then he ultimately just snatched it away from her, and the rest is murder.
Well, I don't have two banjos. I only have one, but I have a fiddle.
Hey, you know, you could have been, I don't know what that would be called. Banjo side? Fiddle side? Fiddle side? I don't know. Orchestral side. I don't know.
Banjital side.
There you go. I like that. So, next, murder in the kitchen. So, this is all true stuff, y'all. I researched all this. It's nothing is made up. But in 1988, a man with the very most English name ever, Sir Reginald Helmsley Dottingdale, perished.
He was 26, right? Before he could spell his name.
There's a bunch of letters after his name, but I just, you know. He was found with a massive lump on the back of his head, and it's believed that he was slain by someone wielding a piece of petrified pumpernickel bread, which was laying near the body.
Well, maybe he complained. Maybe he complained to his wife that the bread was stale.
Well, I have another comment from Scotland Yard. An investigator from Scotland Yard was quoted as saying, "It's the worst case of pumpernickeling I've ever seen."
That choked me up. I was taking a drink in minutes.
See? We want to keep y'all guessing. So, next up, I bet you can't guess the next up. Next up, the pickle jar. In 2010, 16-year-old Daniel Kovarbashish. Oh, goodness. Let's say that again. Daniel Kovarbashish. I cannot say this poor boy's name. Kovarbashik. Kovarbashik. There we go. Daniel Kovarbashik. Yes. Well, hey, this little boy was... This little boy is famous. You know what? He was on the Oprah show with this very situation. He smashed 52-year-old Dwayne Hurley in the head with a pickle jar and then stabbed.
What?
Yes, he smashed this man in the head with a pickle jar and knifed him 55 times to follow up. So I'm guessing you'd say there might be pickle relish here and there. I'm sorry. Anyway, the boy was only sentenced to 5 years probation because, sadly, he claimed that and it was true, that he claimed that Hurley had sexually abused him for more than 3 years.
Well, he deserved a pickle jar and then some.
Yeah, he did. So I have a whole new respect for the humble pickle. Anyway, so let's see. Moving on to parents killing their children. We have a whole category.
Oh, no.
Carl Carlson, age 52, of Waterloo, New York, is accused of murdering his 23-year-old son, Leo, for life insurance money. Mm. You know,
it's an oldie. So much.
It's an oldie bit of kitty. They never get away with it. This is where I found some of the more interesting cases, was on an insurance site. About denied claims.
Oh, geez.
So, Carl had taken out a policy on his son just 17 days prior to his death. And they never can wait either. They've got to just do it, right? On the day in question, Carl had taken the front tires off his pickup truck and placed the truck on only a single jack.
I remember this story.
Just one jack, you know? So then he asked Leo to help him repair the brake and transmission lines. So while his son was under the car, Carl alleged to have deliberately knocked the truck off the jack, and it crushed Leo's chest. Mm. And basically that causes you to suffocate to death.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's just a boy trying to help his daddy out, and he did that to him. That's
trying to have a bonding moment. Well, he was arrested. I didn't go on down the road with all that, but he was arrested and denied. So, from fathers to mothers. And now, although this sounds like a bizarre urban legend, the sad story is that it's all too true. And in 2007, China Arnold, a woman from Dayton, Ohio. I don't know what's up with the water in Ohio, but she was charged with slaying her infant son by placing him in the microwave.
I remember that one too. Oh my goodness.
I know.
Why? That, what is, did it give a reason?
Again, no, some of these, you know, are just like brief little things. Right. I didn't read the whole full why. Some of them didn't tell me why, because I wanted to know. She didn't tell me why, but
yeah, okay.
This is pretty gruesome, but this isn't a far leap from another story that you just recently found out and told me about, where 24-year-old Lamora Williams of Fulton County, Georgia, was charged with killing her two young sons. One was 1-year-old and one was 2-year-old. They were toddlers. She put them in the oven and roasted them to death.
Yeah, that was just awful. Yeah. And then sent a text to the daddy telling him, I killed the boys. Or she tried to claim to police on a 911 call that her sister did it, that she left him with her sister and she did it. But the dad said, she texted me with pictures. She did it.
Right. So. And then the medical examiner wrote in both autopsy reports for the children that thermal changes appear to be entirely from dry heat and changes from prolonged exposure to heat.
Oh.
And that it would require, it would require an extensive amount of time to get them to this degree of
roasted.
There
are some people that just need to be fried. They need to put her in the fried
microwave.
Eddie and fry her part. Oh, yeah. Something.
I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. And that brings us to our next killer, who like to bake her men to the grave, as in death by her pie. But she
like
also,
our giggling granny.
It is. That's where I'm going, but I'm not going to tell you about her method as far as the pie goes. Well, but she had another method, and she's in our category of grandmothers killing their grandchildren. So in our episode of Nanny Doss, the giggling granny, only an hour after her granddaughter was born, she stabbed the newborn infant in the head with a hat pin while her drugged up daughter was still drowsy from the birth and watched her do it. So the daughter couldn't prevent it.
Well, no, because she was, you know, that
right,
was what, in the 50s or something, and she was under. So
yeah, she was all drugged out after the birth and everything. But the fact that her mom did it in front of her is just like, So y'all can go listen to that one. That was on another one of our episodes. So now we're moving on from mamas, daddies, grandmas to children who kill and their methods. John Venables and Robert Thompson were both 10 years old, and they became the youngest convicted murderers in England after killing 2-year-old James Bulger in 1993.
remember that one too.
They abducted the toddler from a shopping center in Bootle, Merseyside, and took him to a railway line where they began to torture him. Mm-hmm. They threw paint in his eye, kicked and stomped on him, threw bricks and stones at him, and then they dropped a 22-pound iron plate on his head. Now, they weren't sure that the little boy was dead, but they left him laying across the railroad tracks with his head weighed down, and they fled the scene. Ultimately, his body was cut in half by a train. And the case...
Those little boys are going to never be good for anything. They really aren't.
Oh, how they can even be... Well, from what I read, they did all this, and then they were put into the system. But at this point, they're out, free in the world. The
case. Well, you know they're going to do something again.
Well, of course they are.
Yeah, they're going to get.
They'll be back in. They'll be back in doing something to somebody, and that's a sad thing because nothing, no rehab for these kind of people.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. There's no rehabilitating people that have this mindset already. Some people can be rehabilitated. But if they're 10 years old and they're murdering little kids, they are not ones that can be rehabilitated. And they are like pedophiles. Pedophiles, I don't believe personally, can never be rehabilitated. They need to just stay isolated.
I agree. And the thing is that if they're children, they're children and they're already with this coldness. Most kids, I would think normal children have this warm fuzzy when they see a puppy or they see, a kitten mm-hmm. and they want to touch it. Mm-hmm. And these are children that don't feel that warm fuzzy. They have a pathology, I believe, already in their brain.
Well, sure. Normally they start killing animals
and flies and then they go from there. But anyway, so the case pathologist said regarding this situation that there were so many injuries, there were 42 in total, that not one could really be isolated as causing the ultimate fatal injury. And from looking at other research with children regarding children seem to prefer to stomp. That's their thing. They want to stomp. They'll stomp puppies, they'll stomp the animals. And then they also seem very fascinated with torture before the actual kill. Mm. Or, this is the thing with children, which is kind of
creepy.
It is. I was going to say it's incredibly creepy, isn't it? I mean, you can look at children and you can see the bad ones. I hate to say that. My mom would say, she used to teach school. She'd say, man, I could look at the class and say, okay, that one's going to jail. That one's going to be, that one's going to jail.
Well, my sister-in-law used to teach kindergarten, and she said she could tell with some mm-hmm. kids in kindergarten that they were not quite right mm-hmm. as far as having a conscience or anything. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. And how they interact with the other kids and if they have compassion, it's just, mm-hmm. you can just see it. It's almost like the younger they are, the more you can tell. The older they get, they can kind of cover it. But anyway, so of course our imaginations will come up with all kinds of ingenious ways to kill someone, but I was trying to find actual cases where people were, thinking outside the box, so to speak, right? So our next little situation here was on April the 18th of 2019, and Terrence Wall, 39-year-old of Angsley, that's in England, was found guilty of murdering Gerald Corrigan, who was 74, and he was a retired lecturer. And our Terrence just decided one day he wanted to shoot him. So he shot him with a crossbow as Mr. Corrigan was trying to fix his satellite dish.
Oh, jeez.
He shot him with a broadhead arrow with razor-sharp edges. Mm. Now, those are normally used for hunting because the arrow is... the arrow is designed to make hunted animals rapidly bleed to death.
Right.
So there's hopefully no suffering. It's supposedly... I mean, I don't know if you remember, but a friend of ours in Memphis, they used to bow hunt. And I always thought that was a horrible, I couldn't stand to hear that.
My dad and my brother used to bow hunt, and I shot a bow and loaded a bow. It's not easy to do.
Right. It takes a lot of strength to really, it's not like
especially
pointing a gun.
Compound bows and crossbows. They're not easy to load that arrow up onto. It takes some strength.
Right. But, I just, I don't know. There was something about it that, I don't know, made me hurt to even think about it. So poor Mr. Corrigan suffered very serious internal injuries, and he actually ultimately died of sepsis 3 weeks later. So he died a really slow and agonizing death.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, and so let's see. Moving on to something that's been sort of a fad lately. We come to now throwing rocks off the bridges of overpasses.
Yeah.
And this was going on while I was living in Austin, and they used to tell us, you know, they would tell us where these people were at, but they couldn't find them. They'd say so-and-so on the radio, or, you know, on the radio, they'd say so-and-so's at blah, blah, blah. And that's kind of freaky, really, you know? But this particular little gang of hooligans, the 18-year-old ringleader, Kyle Anger, there's you gotta know that name is not getting him anywhere, is it?
Yeah, right.
In a group of five other kids in Michigan, five other teenagers, they killed an automobile passenger, Kenneth White, who was 32, by chucking rocks over the underpass in 2017, just like recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, so, it still happens.
Yeah.
And I heard somebody throwing them off recently, like a couple months ago.
Well, I'm not quite clear about this, but it was something to do with there's a game, and they were daring each other to chuck these rocks off to see whether or not they could hit the cars.
Right.
And, you know, it's just, I can't even believe it. But
how did they catch him?
I can't say. I don't know. Okay.
I know. I keep asking these things, but this really is just supposed to be about
the method
of murder. Yeah.
The method, not the entire case. I mean, because some of them I got really distracted, and I wasn't, you know, if I kept looking up the entire case and reading it, I would never get all the other juicy stuff out for you guys. So the next, now we're moving into gangster territory, which y'all might like that a little bit more. Because believe it or not, the ice pick may seem antiquated to you guys, but it shows up on the police blotter a lot. And especially in gangland slayings, it's much more brutal than a knife, because it basically is used, as you can imagine, to send a message.
Right.
They use this in particularly horrific murders by gangs or drug lands because they want to make a point. As well as the next couple of things, which are pretty gruesome. So if you... We're going to end on a pretty awful note. We started out fun, but now we're out. So the next thing that gangs and drug lords like to use regarding sending messages, again, this isn't execution or torture. It's flat out murder, but with a, you know, a reason. So there's something called necklacing.
Oh, yeah.
And this is when someone fills a rubber tire with a flammable liquid like petroleum or gas. And then they force this tire down around your chest and your arms, and then they light it on fire.
Mm-hmm.
It may take up to 20 minutes before the person dies, and it's particularly popular in South Africa in the 1980s and the 90s, and in Haiti from 1986 to 1990 during their transition into democracy. That was during their sort of revolution. Time in their government. So they were really fond of that. And last but not least on our hit list today is something called a Colombian necktie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is a form of gangland method used by mobsters, again, and drug lords, when they also want to scare the associates of the victim. So it's not necessarily the victim. They're wanting, again, to send a message to everybody else. And so what they do is they cut the victim's throat vertically, and then the killer pulls the tongue out through the wound, basically letting him bleed to death. Hence the term necktie.
Mm-hmm.
So, any questions or comments? Any pickle relish fans?
No. I did happen across a murder that happened in the 70s, I think,
mm-hmm.
in the Stanford Chapel at Stanford University, that was with an ice pick also.
Oh.
Where the guy drove the ice pick through the woman's head. She happened to be the wife of a student there, and she happened to be at the chapel praying because she and her husband had an argument. And she went there to pray about it, and she was murdered, and they put the ice pick in her head, but the person also did some interesting things with a candlestick. Let's just leave it at that. And they found out recently that the night watchman who called in finding the body was actually the one who killed her.
So. Oh, wow. Well, You know, I also read that story, and I read that not only did they violate her, but that he settled a candle somehow in her chest, too.
Yeah, he drove a candle in her chest. I'm not sure if it was a candle or a candlestick. It seems to me that it would be. I read both. One was a candlestick and one was a candle, and I kind of figure it was a candlestick because I don't think you could do that with a candle. Do you?
Yeah, I'm thinking you got a whole lot of rage if you can get that big old honking candle through her chest.
Right.
So, yeah, that makes more sense. You're right. You're probably totally right. Right.
Well, I read several different articles about it, and that, that was
what
I figured anyway.
I'm rooting for Edward Benson in the banjo.
Oh, well, you want people to vote for their favorite one? We can have them do that.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a great idea. I think y'all need to follow us on Twitter, and Kim can set up a poll about what y'all want.
Yeah. So
Kim will set up the poll about which of these did you like the best?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah, why not? So anything else we want to share with the peeps today, Miss Kim?
That's about it for me.
Well, thanks again. Well, that's all I have for today. So thanks again for y'all stopping by. We'll see you again on Tuesday. Y'all have a great weekend.
Bye-bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.